Let's read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Luke, chapter 12. And look at verse 15. Luke, chapter 12 and verse 15. The Lord Jesus speaks and he says, "Take heed and beware of the covetousness, for a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat. It's more than what ye eat. So now pay attention to this, because this is the Lord Jesus teaching. He used a story to teach these lessons. The life is more than what ye eat, and the body is more than what you wear. That's a very simple thing that he was teaching them. So much of our time is occupied with the things that we eat, what we're going to eat in some places. It's a struggle to have food. And someone was telling me the other day that dog food actually has to be fit for human consumption, because there are people and that are homeless and they will eat it. So it has to be fit for humans to eat. That's very sad, but it's true. Some people will actually are so stressed about what to eat, they'll actually stoop to eating dog food. Well, the Lord said, don't only be so taken up with what you eat. There's a lot more to life than what you eat, and there's a lot more to life than what you wear. So many people spend hours on the internet shopping, and Shein has become wildly popular because it's a cheap way to clothe yourself and still look great. Well, hopefully people don't know that you only paid 50 cents for it or something. Well, probably more than that, but what you wear, it's a huge thing, the clothing industry. The Lord Jesus knew that way back then. Verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, they don't farm, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. Where did we hear about storehouses and barns? The rich men before, that's what he was thinking about, but not the ravens. God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? For ye, then, be not able to do that thing which is least. Why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." So he's used those two things, what you eat and what you wear, and he uses these two examples of a raven who doesn't farm, yet he's got something to eat all the time, and a lily who doesn't think about what to wear, and yet they have a beauty that is all their own from God. God has made it so. And he says, if God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell ye what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. I was thinking of this little story of a rich man that the Lord Jesus told about. And I want to just take some expressions from the story that the Lord Jesus told and to talk about it tonight. I want to think, first of all, of those things. The Lord Jesus spoke about that. Those things. And then he tells us later in the chapter, these things. So there are those things, and there are these things. I want to think secondly about a night, this night, one very important night that the Lord Jesus spoke about in this man's life. And then I want to think about thy soul, thy soul. So those things, this night, thy soul. It would be a wonderful thing if those three expressions got burned into our minds and we took them home with us. Those things, this night, thy soul. Those things, this night, thy soul. Something to think about. The Lord Jesus always gives us something to think about. Always. Very important thing. Very, very, very important things to think about that he was talking about. You see, that's why he told stories. It wasn't just for entertainment. Whereas we have a little granddaughter who loves to have stories told. Tell me another story, she says. And they don't have to make any sense and they don't have to make you think. They're purely for entertainment purposes. But the Lord Jesus doesn't speak for entertainment purposes. He speaks to be thought-provoking, that we would be benefited. The same as we've heard in the first part of the meeting, but something we all take for granted. And Ian has used the bridge so that when we look at the bridge, we will think about a greater bridge, a spiritual bridge to heaven, to a greater place in New Brunswick. So then, first of all, those things. When it comes to those things, it's almost that as if the Lord Jesus, who only could speak of a man's last night on earth, He peels back the layers of this man's life. And what we would never know about a man, he speaks about those things almost as if the man himself is thinking about these things. There's a nearness. These were my things. These were my goods. There was a close association. No doubt he was very proud of the things that he had done. Proud of his barns. Proud of his cattle. Proud of the crops in his field. All the things that were there, he would speak about these things. But the Lord Jesus tells us what it's like when God looks upon a person on their last night on earth. And it's almost as if there's already a distance between the person and what they counted so near. And there's almost a distance, and it says, not these things, but those things. Almost as if the soul is departing from everything they worked for, from the farm they lived on, from all the house they lived in, the easy chair they liked, the place they worked. And it's God looks at it and he says, it's a man and those things. And he's losing them. They're slipping away from him. He doesn't even know it yet. Wouldn't it be a solemn thing if heaven looked down into these meetings, this meeting tonight, and there was someone who was in their final nights of earth, their final days, and all you could think about is the things around you, the physical, material things, work, money, needs, worries. The Lord Jesus deals with all those things. So this is legitimate. They are legitimate things. They are important things to a degree. But he says it's no sense worrying over those things. What would it mean to be a little bit comfortable, to spend all of our time being comfortable, not having a hunger pain in our stomach, and being well-dressed,
If my soul is not right and I'm going out to meet God without a bridge to heaven, how horrible would it be? How senseless would the life be? To have everything in order, to have a university degree, to have a good job, to have a house, to have a relationship. But to be not ready to meet God, to be living your life for what God says, are those things, just something you're going to lose? See, across the road, there's a funeral home. There's no storage compartment. There's no trunk on a hearse. There's no storage. It's just big enough for a body. And when a person goes in the coffin, those things are gone. And if all you lived for was those things, when it comes to that day, wouldn't it be a horrible thing? Just to have thought about things, but not heavenly things, not spiritual things? You see, the Lord Jesus is teaching people there is another way to live. He's saying, I'm telling you how a man lived. I'm telling you he was very successful. We're not even talking about the people that worked for this man. This was the big chief himself. This was the boss. This was the owner. And the Lord Jesus said he lived for those things. But he says there's another way to live. He says the life is more than the things that we possess. It's more than the things we eat. It's more than the things that we wear. That's all exactly in the passage. We read it. You can go home and look for yourself and you'll find it there. But the Lord Jesus turns it around, the passage, and he says, don't live for those things. A man left all those things behind. He had a storage problem when it came to those things. But the Lord Jesus spoke at least three times of these things. And then he spoke about things that really you gain that come with the kingdom of God. And I was thinking about some of these things that the Lord Jesus referred to. He may have been referring to the material as well. I'll add those things, but turn it around to the spiritual and think about it that way. I want to remind you of what is available to you. If you are not interested in wasting your life on those things, what about these things that the Lord Jesus speaks about? Think about this. Think of what the Lord Jesus said as he speaks in verse 31. Verse 31, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wouldn't you like to have some of these things, spiritual things, lasting things, added to you? That you can possess something more than what you eat, what you wear, what you have? That's what the Lord Jesus is talking about. What's one of the things he mentioned? You know what he says in verse number 32? He says, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. You say, well, that's a simple little expression. Surely you don't see anything there. Actually, it's something that's unique in the New Testament, this expression. But wouldn't you love to have this thing added to who you are? That the Lord Jesus could speak to you as one of his little flock. You know what that means? He's the shepherd. And I'm his sheep. He's bought me. You know what John chapter 10 says? He says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, that's something a Christian has. They may have those things to deal with. They may even become occupied with those things. But when it comes to these things, there is something about this as that the Lord Jesus speaks about, fear not, little flock. There's a sense in which we do not have to fear. We can live a life that is free from fear because we have a shepherd that looks after all the things that we can't look after, all the big things. Do you have a shepherd? You see, so many people love that psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," and yet there's never a moment when they accepted him as their shepherd. They take the words, but they've never had a moment when that shepherd and sheep relationship began. Ian spoke about a day when he came to be a Christian. He became the sheep that belonged to the shepherd. You see, the shepherd gave his life at Calvary. He died on the cross so that we can be saved, so that we can be bought and we can be his sheep. But are you his sheep? Is there a moment when you came to be part of his flock, when you trusted Christ, the good shepherd, you realized, well, isn't that amazing? He gave himself for me so that I could be his sheep. You know, you could have that thing, that tonight. One of those things the Savior said. One of the things that can be added to life, not living a life with the bare necessities, only ready to live this life, regardless of how comfortable it may be, but to be ready and have this added to that which is physical. I know the good shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's my Savior. And you can understand this. You see, there's a thing in the Bible that's precious. Over and over again, he says, fear not. Fear not. There are different places you'll read it. Isaiah has a number of fear nots. And here in Luke, there is this fear not, little flock. Do you know that thing? These things? Has it ever been added? You're one of his sheep? But secondly, the Savior goes on and he speaks. He says, fear not, little flock. And then he enhances the relationship and becomes even richer. Not just a shepherd and a sheep, but he says, it is your Father's good pleasure. Your Father's good pleasure. Well, can you imagine? A Christian not only has a shepherd that looks after all the big things in life that you and I cannot look after, but we also have a Father. We can speak to one in heaven, my Father. You see, we sang it this morning here in the hall. Abba, Father. It's the simplest form of a baby, just the first words he might say, reaching out with the very basic speech, Abba, Father. Yet a father responds to that. You see, if you are not saved, you are not one of his children. You become one of his children when you're born into his family. The Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not enough to be part of the nation of Israel. Not enough to know the Bible. Not enough to be religion. Not enough to be what you think is a good person. He says, Nicodemus, you must be born again to be in the family of God. Have you ever been born again? The Lord Jesus said, it's one of the things that can be added to your life. How it enriches life to be able to get down on your knees and speak to the one in heaven that we cannot see, but we have full confidence in. Like any father on earth will respond, so he will respond to me. And he says, fear not, little flock, the shepherd. It is your Father's good pleasure. I want to tell you, don't feel sorry for a Christian, because we have a Father in heaven. And it's his good pleasure. He wants to give us things. You know, one of my daughters was kind of laughing at me today because I wanted to teach some good manners. Didn't want them to be burping at the table because I was afraid we might be at some fancy person's table someday and they might do that in public and I would be embarrassed. So I tried to teach some manners at our table. It was something I thought was, but then there are other times as a father, when you pass on something, you just love to do something, to cuddle your child, to do something fun for them, to bless them. Where do we get that? Where do we learn to be a father? From our Father in heaven. He's the Father of lights. He's the one that wants to pass on blessing. But are you trusting in a relationship that doesn't exist? Are you trusting that God's your Father, but you've never been born again? You're not saved? The Lord Jesus said, these are things that must be added. You're not born with them. These are things that must be added. So he said, you go in for the things of God. You go in for God's kingdom, he says. And he says, all these things will be added. Are you living for those things? Or are you interested in these things? The shepherd, the Father. But then he goes on and he says something else. He says, not only is it your Father's, the Father-Son relationship, but he says, to give you the kingdom. The kingdom. Well, there was a man that we just read about, and he had quite a little empire, didn't he? He had farms, he had likely had cattle, he had fields, he had storehouses, and you know what? He was not satisfied with those things. But the Lord Jesus said, when these things are added, he says, there will be a kingdom. All these things satisfy. This is where satisfaction is found. There is a kingdom not to be compared with a little paltry kingdom that we may have. Oh, no, he says, there's a kingdom. He says, it's a heavenly kingdom. And he says, when you join that kingdom, when you're born into the family of a father, my, he says, he wants to give you the kingdom. Everything that he has. He wants to share with you through the Son. Do you ever think about heaven? Do you ever think about eternity? Ever think about what's beyond life? I want to tell you, if there's a Christian, if you're a Christian and these things have been added, you don't have any worries about what comes after death. Because all this, all God's kingdom is all there waiting for you. And he says it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you think that somehow God wants to take something from you tonight to be saved? You think you're going to be a miserable person, not satisfied, hurting, and a scowl and miserable? No, no. He says these are the things that satisfy. There is a shepherd that you can have. There is a father you can have. But there's a kingdom for you to enjoy that God has to provide, not a kingdom you work for. My, this rich farmer, he spent his hours, he spent his days, his weeks. He spent sleepless nights working for this kingdom. You ask Jamie if it's easy having cattle when you're up all hours of the night seeing that the calves are born into the world and worrying about the harvest and all those things. No, there's work involved in the kingdoms we provide for ourselves, but not for this kingdom. No, he says it's your Father's good pleasure. It's by grace. There's a kingdom. Is there a rich home in heaven that's eternal that has been provided for you? Have you received it? It all comes part of the salvation gift. Here you are working and wondering, and yet God has a package ready for you, all by grace. It's that which satisfies. Oh, he says there's a kingdom that's for you, but he doesn't stop there. He says, as we go on, he speaks about selling what you have. He says, oh, you won't count them as valuable. Provide for yourself bags which wax not old. That's in verse number 33. Bags which wax not old. You know, I was looking at my Bible case there. I bought that quite a few years ago in Yarmouth in the clearance bin at a Staples, and I really liked it. I thought it would never wear out. It's leather. I got it very cheap, but it was good quality, I could tell. But you know what? They're starting to get into be some little pinholes in it because it's waxing old. The leather's getting sort of worn, and I had to buy another one. But there it is. It's waxing old, even though it's quality. You know what they used to do in Roman times? Well, they didn't have wallets like we wear. You know, these wax old and we sit on them and we drop them and we leave them all kinds of places and we can lose them. But what they used to do in Roman times is they would either wear a belt with pockets on it, or sometimes they would have, you know, it wasn't the Lululemon version, but there was a little waist bag that they used to wear, and sometimes they would attach it to their belt. And here it was hanging, and it was dangling as it went along, full of coins, and the weight of it wearing, constantly wearing. They would brush against things, and eventually they would have what the Bible speaks about, bags with holes. And all the coins that they were working hard to provide and to carry, first thing they would begin to lose them, plink, one would go, and they might not hear it. And plink, plink, there goes two more. And plop, there goes another one. And by, they get to where they're going, and they've lost everything they've worked for because the bag waxed old and it had holes. You see, that's what happens in life. That's a description of life, actually. The Savior knew what he was talking about. You work for those things, just material things. Oh, you might amass wealth, but you will likely either lose it one coin at a time through taxes and maintenance in a home and a vehicle and family. And you're working to get ahead, but you're actually losing things everywhere you go. And even if you manage to keep some of it till the day you die, you lose it all in one fell swoop. It's gone. And as the body waxes old,
The Savior says, you'll lose everything. Did you know he says there's a bag that doesn't wax old? Do you know there's something where you can put things? You'll never lose them. There's David. You know what he had? He put 5 smooth stones in his shepherd's bag. He went out and he accomplished a great victory with those stones. And he had lots left over. Isn't it a wonderful thing to every day to have a mind? Oh, the mind may wax old, but just to put a verse or two in the bag, which is our mind, we may lose things, but we keep putting it in, and we always have something of the Word of God, something of the truths of God, and we think about them. David put those in his script, in a shepherd's bag. That was likely where a shepherd would have put his lunch. Well, he didn't bring those stones out to eat them, but they were there, and he had them with him. And we can, as we go through life, we can have things in their mind, things from the Bible, the Word of God. And because we are saved, because we're a Christian, they mean something to us. And we have them, we think about them, we feed upon them, we accomplish victories for God. The Lord Jesus said, we can have a bag that doesn't wax old. And sometimes the oldest people I know, they're not some tired, cranky old person that is the withered and dry. You know, some of the freshest minds I've known are Christians that are on the road to heaven and they're in their 90s and they're still sweet. They have a bag that hasn't waxed old. Their mind is still full of Christ. Their mind is still warmed by the truth of God, the Word of God. Wouldn't you like to be a person like that? If you come to an old people's home and you've put your money in a bag that doesn't wax old. Your mind isn't tired of just the working and the laboring and the losing and the taxation and the sickness and all those. Oh, it can get tired, I know. But to have someone where you can go, somewhere you can go when you think. And it's the sweet spot. It's the warm spot. It's the God spot. It's the Word of God spot. It's a wonderful thing. If you're not a Christian, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you could. The Savior spoke about bags that don't wax old. But then he says also again in verse 33, he says, a treasure in the heavens, which faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. You know, one of the ways they used to keep wealth was in garments. And you know what they would find? Sometimes they'd have a storehouse full of clothes for when someone would come and they want to bestow favor. And the servant would go to the room where the clothes were kept, and the moths would get in and they were full of holes. It was ruined. Valuable clothing full of ruin. Or they might put it in some space, safe spot, a treasury or something, like a bank that we would have. And thieves would come and they would steal it and they couldn't keep it. But the Lord Jesus says there is a place where you can keep your treasure. No thief can reach it. No moth will ever enter it. There's such a thing as treasures in heaven. You see, a Christian has all this. These things. Do you ever experience any of these things? Are you interested in experiencing any of these things? The Lord Jesus is advertising it against the backdrop of a man that all he lived was for those things. But he says, I want you to think about these things. A shepherd, a father, a kingdom, bags that don't wax old, a place where treasure can never be stolen, will never be corrupted. Heaven, all there. You see, when a Christian is going through life doing little things here and there, doing things for God, it's like constantly sending an investment on ahead to the heavenly bank, and they can never lose it. It's a real thing to be a Christian. And the Savior said it's worthwhile living for these things. But then he says there's something else a Christian has down in verse number 35. He says, let your loins be girded and your lights burning. And there's two more things. He says, your loins are girded. You see, that was what they did in Exodus 12 and 13 when they were ready to journey. They were to eat it with their shoes and their feet and their loins girded. In other words, they were ready to travel, even while they were enjoying the Passover lamb. You know what's the truth of a Christian life is? Even this morning, we sat down to remember the Lord. There's a sense in which, spiritually speaking, this is true. We are ready to travel.
If the Lord had come this morning while we were singing some of the hymns, there was nothing we had to do to get ready. Those of us that are saved, we had a moment when we prepared. We trusted Christ and we were ready to go. Do you have unfinished business? Do you have things you haven't done? Do you have preparations you haven't made? For the day you leave this world, the Lord Jesus says some people do, but not a Christian. He says, you can have your loins girded. You're ready to travel, or you're ready to serve, whichever it is, because they did it for both things. They girded up their garments to work, and they did it to travel. And that's what a Christian is. Their loins are girded. They're prepared either to serve Christ here or to travel. You see, that's what Paul said. He says, I know that if I'm here for you, Philippian believers, he says, it's better for you if I'm here. I'm ready to serve you, he says. But he says, if I'm to go home, he says, that's fine. He says, I'm ready to travel. Are you ready to serve or ready to travel? Either one, whichever God chooses. Or are you just dreading getting up and going to work tomorrow? And that's all you know is the daily, the weekly grind, and nothing more. The Savior has so much more in mind when it comes to these things can be added to who you are and what you are. That's what a real Christian is. You know what? What we've been hearing about the bridge, the Savior who died so that he could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's so that there's a way for you to travel. And all you need to do is trust Christ. And if the Lord came, or if you died, you're ready to go. Are you ready to go? Or when you lay down tonight and these things come into your mind, those things, this night, thy soul, you'll say, I wonder what he was talking about. I'm not ready to go. And I don't have any interest in serving God. I don't even know how. Well, the Lord Jesus says you can. He said, loins girded, ready to travel or ready to work. Doesn't matter. That's the Christian's life. But one more thing, maybe in reference again to that night when they were ready with their loins girded to travel, there was something else on that night. It was a land where there was complete and total and utter darkness. But they had light in their dwelling. And he said, here you are, he says, and the world is getting so dark. And all you around you, you wonder, where is there any light? It's a dark world. There's sin everywhere. There's dark news. There's dark things and circumstances. It's horrible living in this world. But the Savior says, you can be in the middle of a dark world and you can have a light that is burning. A light of testimony. You can have hope. He says earlier, he says, you don't have to be of a doubtful mind. Do you have so many things to worry about? There's no light in your darkness. A Christian can always have light. It's one of the blessings. And the Savior said, you can have these things added to who you are. You know, I had two other points. I'm going to leave them. This night and thy soul, and contrast them with the Lord Jesus, the night he had, and his soul exceeding sorrowful, so that you and I could be saved. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. The very night he died, he had you on his mind. He was going to die for sinners like you and like me. That's why we sang, Jesus died for me. Do you know that truth tonight? If you would accept that tonight and come into the good of it, you could have not just those things that are out there that are waiting for you this week, but you can have these things that we've been speaking about. At it. And you can have not a storage problem. You know, our phones run out of storage. Our houses run out of storage. We have storage problems when we only live for those things. But when it comes to these things, there's always room for another blessing. There's always room for more grace. There's always room for more truth. Always. And we live a life satisfied. The Savior said, seek you the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. I hope these things will be added for you tonight. You can be a Christian and come to know the shepherd and have God as your father, part of that kingdom.
have treasure in heaven, have light, and be ready to travel if the Lord comes, even if it was tonight. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus and for what he has done. We thank thee he is the bridge, he is the fixed link, he is everything to the Christian. We thank thee he has satisfied thee on our behalf. For our sins he died, having suffered the wrath of God, so that we can be saved tonight. We pray that someone will have these things, these blessed, wonderful things that satisfy at it. The Savior said that our life doesn't just consist of the abundance of those things that a man possesseth, but he knew what it was to have these things added. And we pray that there will be someone that will tonight come to know Christ and have these things added to them. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.